Okay, ladies here, Wednesday night. Shalom Shir, Shalom Bayis Shir, whatever you want to call it. It's still working. I'm just going to take me 30 seconds to catch my breath and start.
Alana and Yaffa for arranging all of our shiurim that are going on this year. It takes a lot of time and effort on their part for all of us so we can benefit. So thank you to them also for their constant work so that we took all of the benefits of the shiurim.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. Shalom Bayis Shir, and Wednesday night. And don't forget to thank the person that thanked everyone. Okay, just a remark, which I should have cleared with the people in charge of these talks. I think this is the second one that we're having.
Yes.
Where am I? Maybe I should talk about it privately. I think the original idea was to have more of a free-for-all Ask the Rabbi session. How did it turn into that this specific topic? So I forgot how that happened. But I'm ready to do it if anybody wants it. Just like the men, we do it Friday night. So I said, the women said, hey, what about us? So I'm willing to do it that way also. But then I don't remember exactly. Then it was decided it's better to have a topic. Anyway, tonight there is a topic. But I have to give an introduction first. When a person learns something, let's say you learn Chavis Halvavos, maybe it's Shara Bitachal, maybe it's Shara Vodas Alokim, or, you know, we go to Shiurim, we hear a Shiur about Rosh Hashanah, or about Pesach, or about Purim, or we read a nice Torah thought, or a Hashkafa, and we want to, so sometimes we hear nice things, it's a nice Torah thought. But sometimes we want to make it part of our lives. We want to act upon it. Many times it sounds like when you take an idea that's a yesod, let's call it in learning, it's when a man learns Gemara, so it's called the yesod of the sugya. But we'll call it a principle. And it's not just in learning and Torah. I mean, in the non-Jewish world and the non-Torah world, there's also such a thing called principles, P-R-I-N-S-I-P-L-E-S, principles. And a principle is an abstraction. In other words, the principle doesn't talk about, it shouldn't. A principle shouldn't talk about a specific case. Because every case is a little different, and you have to make some adjustment or you have to add to the principle or do it a certain way. But so a principle is an abstraction that you use it to apply, you know, to have a goal. Let's say Eretz Yisrael is ours. So someone that doesn't have a principle, so they'll say, okay, I'm going to live pragmatically. I am very much against living pragmatically. Because you call it pragmatism, but it always works out in real life that the pragmatic people are the most non-pragmatic people. Why? Because if all you do is react to situations, so then on Sunday you'll live this way, because that's the most comfortable, and that'll get you out of a problem, and that'll get you out of a fix, and you'll deal with it. And then Monday you'll do something that's maybe conceptually contradictory to the way you lived on Sunday, but you have a different situation, so you have to react differently. And you just bounce back and forth, and your life doesn't have direction. And you don't know what to do. And all you're doing is reacting for the moment. Like you're sort of an instant gratification type of life. When you have a principle, that covers so much. Let's talk about, like, let's just say Eretz Yisrael's ours. So if I'm going to live by that principle, that covers a thousand things will happen that if I have a certain principle, so then I'll act I don't know, does this bring me closer to that goal, or does that move me further away from the goal? So the principle itself, if you just hear it as the abstraction that it is, it sounds extreme, and it sounds like, come on, you're not in touch with reality. It's such an extreme statement. You know, everything that happens is a gzardin from Hashem. You know, that's an abstraction. It's a principle. It's a yesod. And when you just say it that way, it sounds like it's extreme. But then when you live your life and you say, oh, here's how I'm going to react to situation A, because I have that principle as a guiding light in my life. That's my guiding force. Everything is a guiding force. So when this situation happens, I'll react this way. When this happens, because I have this principle, I have this abstraction, so then when all the pruktim happen, I know how to apply them. So, it's, why am I giving this hakdama for? It's not a philosophy class. Because I obviously can't sit here tonight. I don't know how long I'm supposed to speak for. Let's say I'm supposed to speak for 45 minutes or whatever. I don't even know. Can you tell me? Nobody knows. Okay. So, I had in my mind I'll speak around 45 minutes. It might not even be that long, and we'll take questions. But obviously, I'll talk about Shalom Bayis. We speak for hours and hours and hours. There's so many things involved. There's even other principles involved, because it involves Ben Odom Achavero. It involves Chesed. It involves relationship. There's even other principles. So I can't, you know, and then there's so many protein, because life is life. So many things happen in the course of the day. So we can't talk about that. And if someone has issues in their Shalom Bayis, they should come speak to me if they want to. I'm available. In fact, by the last shiur that we had, I was shocked that people, I found out, were shocked that I'm actually available to speak to people. Like, what do I do a whole day? Well, not a whole day, it's true. But I am available, Baruch Hashem. Hashem gives me kochos. So, I have to talk tonight. I have to only talk a principle. Well, maybe I'll have time for two principles or three. But that's what I mean. It's going to be an abstraction and it's going to sound extreme. But I feel it's a principle of Shalom Bayis, maybe even the Bedrock principle. And if you say, okay, I'm going to buy into what Rav Malinowitz said. I don't like it, but okay. And then you'll see, like, how do you know if something's a principle or it's just a reaction, a pragmatic reaction? You see, the more universal the principle is, the more things it applies to. So then you say, wow, that's like, it's universal. Look, I could basically, every issue that comes up with my spouse, I can use this. I have somewhere to turn and say, okay, so what does that demand of me in this situation? Of course, that's under laboratory conditions, so to speak. But that's really, ideally, what you want. You want that, that's how you know it's a principle. So that's, if it's the more universal something is, the more of a strong principle that it is. There's always pieces left over. It's never clean. It's never neat, and you have to know how to deal with the issues that come up, even after you apply the principle. And I'm saying we can't cover that tonight. Like there's books and there's ideas and there's so many scenarios and situations. So I hope the night is fruitful for you. I hope it's fruitful for me to get clarity and to be able to talk. I think there's been other machavero. I'm not even going to talk about the whole idea of responsibility, that a person has to has responsibilities and has to fulfill them. The idea of being meshubed and mechuyev to do something, and then there's bin adam achavero. And there's also, I mean, it touches upon the whole area of your, plural, your growth as a woman. In other words, that in itself is like a different shear, really. That a woman has a different, well, okay, ultimately we all want to do the Ratzon Hashem. Right, so everybody has the same spiritual task in terms of that principle. Okay, but once we go to level two, what does that mean in my life? What is my overreaching goal, ultimate goal? So a woman has a different spiritual goal than a man, if we view them as individuals. But we're not here tonight to talk about a woman as an individual, being fulfilled as a woman. That's not tonight's talk. What it means to be a Jewish woman and what it means to find fulfillment as a Jewish woman. We're going to touch upon it probably a little because it's inevitable, but that's not tonight's talk. Tonight, I'll talk about two things, really. Why Shalom Bayis is so essential. Why it's so important, and we find throughout Chazal that it is so many things. You can't make more of a powerful statement than to say we are mochek the Shem Hashem for Shalom Bayis. I mean, that is, being mochek the Shem Hashem is like terrible. What's worse than that? Right? It's a destruction. We're not talking about, like, you know, it's a simple act of erasure. There's something lies there. That's a very meaningful, powerful statement that Chazal point out. Erasing the name of Hashem means, I don't know what it means. It means we can rebuild Hashem's reality with the Shalom Bayis that we create. And Hashem's reality, the purpose for which Hashem is here in this world, it's not going to work if there's no Shalom Bayis. So we, so to speak, erase the name, and we have to start over. We erase the name to create Shalom Bayis, and we start over again. And Shechina Beinehem, everybody here has heard that countless times. If you had Sheva Brachos, you heard it. So Shechina Beinehem, so you recreate the Shem Hashem, you recreate the Shechina when you recreate, when you rebuild the Shalom Bayis. So it's obviously more than just a lack of strife. It's obviously more than just you're not arguing and you're not fighting and you're not at cross purposes or you're not even talking to each other. Many people, go through life with two people in the same house. They don't even fight. They just have two different lives. And that's sad. That's not Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis does not mean, it can't be. The way Chazal talk about it is, obviously it's a positive force, and it's more than just a lack of arguing, and or even just two individuals just living there. That's number one. What's the big deal? And number two is, when I talk to the men, I gave a Shalom Bayis shiur or two shiurim, so I told them they're not allowed to tell their wives what I said. Because I talk to men, and there's certain things men have to know. What their duties and responsibilities are as Shalom Bayis, in Shalom Bayis. And it's you're not, they shouldn't tell you. It's not good for you to hear. But now the shoe's on the other foot, and I'm telling you things that you shouldn't tell your husbands. It's not their business. Not their business. It's I'm talking from the woman's perspective. Now you might say, you're a man. How can you talk to us from the woman's perspective? That's a very good question, and it gives me a chance to rant about something. It's true. if you have that problem, okay, it's going to sound funny, but if you have that problem, there's an organization called Nishmat. Have anybody heard of it? Okay. So it's made by modern Orthodox women, and it's to answer shilas of women, and it's halacha shilas, and they give eitzes, and they talk to women about tayrus mishpacha and such types of issues. And it's not bad. I've looked at their stuff, I've checked it over, and they're not bad in terms of halacha, in terms of their care not to go beyond what they made up their mandate to be. They're not bad. But, there's a huge but. Their yesod is bad. Their yesod is terrible. Their yesod is that a man can't understand a woman. A woman can't ask shilas of a rav because it's embarrassing, or he doesn't know where she's coming from. And a woman, her body is different, and her mental state is different, and her emotional state is different. That's their yesod. So we must have women that women can turn to. That's terrible. It's not true. It flies in the face of 2,000 years of Jewish tradition, of Jewish halacha, of everything. It says that the 2,000 years we've been mistaken, and women really were not properly dealt with because it's men rabbis. So it's coming from a feminist agenda. Although I'll say again, the bottom line, it's not bad at all. But the purpose for which it was formed, their principle, their yesod, is krum, is terrible. If someone would feel that they can't talk to me about something, then, okay, if someone's shy and embarrassed, that's okay. But if someone feels they can't talk to me because I'm a man and I'll never understand and I can't understand, then this is going to sound terrible, but I mean in all sincerity, then you have to get yourself a different rabbi. Because a rav, if he's a good rav, then, as I say, traditionally for the last 2,000 years, maybe more, a rav, someone who learns Torah, someone who steeps in Torah, can relate to Kohanim and Levim and Yisraelim. If you tell me I can't talk to a Kablan about his problems because I'm not a Kablan, it's not true. And if a Rav doesn't have children, and you say you can't talk to someone with children because he can't understand, a Rav is a Rav, and he can, and if he can't, he says I can't because I don't understand. If I would get an issue that I feel, you have to trust a rav. It's a very important yesod. And if you don't, then you should get a different rav, because you have to have a rav that you can trust. And that's okay when I say you can get a different rav. I'm not threatening anybody. It's perfectly fine. But I'm saying you really have to have a rav. And you shouldn't feel this way. It's wrong. I'm not talking about me now. About whoever you choose to make your rav, you really have to feel that he does understand you, he does know where you're coming from, he can deal with your issues. That's the quality of learning Torah, that you get the whole picture. Torah gives chokhmah, if the Rav is learned. And if not, the Rav will say so. I will say, I have to discuss this with my wife, I have to discuss this with OBGY, right, I have to discuss it with doctors. I have to discuss it with my wife. I really don't understand where you're coming from or what the issue is or why you feel this way or what the problem is. So then the Rav, just like Al Pi Torah, there's no appeals court in Torah. No system of appeals. You go back to the Dayanim themselves and you say, I think you made a mistake. I want to reopen the case. I want you to rethink what you said. Here are the reasons that I think you maybe should revisit the issue. So the Dayan, the Torah trusts the Dayan himself, or the three Dayanim themselves, to be Erlich and to be objective and to be honest and to make the judgment call if they have to look into the case again. No such thing as going to a higher court. There's no such system. They have it in Eretz Yisrael. They were forced to do it, even the Batei Din. When the Medina was formed, they were forced into it. They said either that or there's not going to be any Batei Din, and there's just going to be a civil court system called Bet Mishpat. You have to make an appeal. So there's Beis Din Le'irurin, it's called, where they have higher courts. But Al Pi Torah, there's no such thing. So anyway, so when I say to you that I talk to the men from what the men have to know, and I said, don't tell your wives, so now I'm talking to women, yeah, and I know I'm a man, but Afal Pi Kein, I'm going to share with you some thoughts that I have, and, okay. The first Yesod, which is a joke, it's not the Yesod I'm going to talk about tonight. But you have to understand this, because this is going to affect everything. The Yesod I'm going to say, by the way, I don't know who Mrs. Brix is. Thank you very much for your home. I'm sorry that I don't recognize you by face. I need a Rambam. Oh. I need a Rambam. How's this going to work? Anybody see that? Oh, I see it. Okay. Well, I guess. Okay. The joke, I didn't tell the joke yet. It's not a joke, even though I'm pretty sure you're all going to laugh. What's going to make what I say tonight palatable to you, I hope, because at first, your first reaction will not be palatable. That's the Yesod of Shalom Bayis, though. But my first, the Yesod, is just like, let's say your child, children, your mothers, and you don't let your child's needs affect your relationship with your child. Because your child's your child. So, and the child has certain needs. So I hope, unless a person is mentally ill, unstable, they don't get angry at their child because they have to be diapered or because they have to be fed. And as they get older, they have other needs. So you don't resent your child, you don't get angry at your child, and you say, you know, I'm put in this world to take care of the child, and whatever the child's needs are, I'm going to respond to them. So you know, men are nothing but a bunch of big babies. And you have to respond, and that's how you have to think of them, so to speak. They're babies. They have certain needs, just like women have certain needs that men have to meet. And that's the achrayus in a marriage. And that's the role, the job of Shalom Bayis is to meet the other partner's needs, as we'll see in a moment. It's Hashem. Men have certain needs. And you have to meet them. What do you mean, I have to? Yeah, because getting married entails meeting their needs. Just like I told the men what your needs are. And they have to meet them. So you have to hear what their needs are. Now, the reason I don't want them to hear what their needs are, because they'll deny it. And they'll say it's not true, and it's okay, that's not the issue. But the need comes from the Rambam, as we'll learn in a moment. And it comes from the Gemara, and the Rambam, and Seichel, and Torah. So take it from me. And okay, I'll say, I'm a man, I should know. But it's really, we'll see. Well, you'll understand everything shortly, Mr. Shem. Okay. First I want to talk... It's important to know first, we have to talk a little about marriage. We're talking about Shalom Bayis, we have to talk about marriage. There's so many Yesodos, I don't know, we should have made a two-part series. Zochar u'nekeva b'ro'om. There's no... It sounds almost trite, but there's no competition between two people, and you really, just what the Chafetz Chaim says about Klal Yisrael, and it's hard for us to internalize it, but the Chafetz Chaim and many others for him write about Klal Yisrael, that it's one goof, It's one neshama, lamala, and some people are the rosh, and some people are the arms, and some people are the legs, and some people are the stomachs. But it's all one. And that's why there's lo sikom, lo sitor, and biata l'recha kamocha, and we function as one. And that's the yisod of Klal Yisrael, really. So on a manageable scale, please, we all have to realize, men and women alike, have to realize that a man and a woman who are married are one. They're mamish one. Remember, Hashem made the Bria originally Zachar Unakeva Baraam. When you talk about a person, first of all, realize every person is made up of a Zachar and a Nekeva, right? Every person that's born has Zachrus traits and Nikvus traits. Every person is a coming together of a Zachar and a Nekeva. Some people are Zachar and some people are Nekevos, but they're both Zachar and Nekeva, right? They both have mother and father. And that's how Hashem made Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon was Zachar Unakeva. There's a chokas in the Gemara about the exact details about how it was structured. But the creation of Chava was, after it was split off as two, that's the creation of Chava. I'm not going into the Gemara exactly the details, the technical details of what happened when Chava was created. But there's no question in the Gemara that originally Adam Arishon was Zachar Unakeva, the way he was created, the way he / she was created, it was Zachar Unakeva, and that's really how every person is. That's, you know, Taka, never thought about it that way. Every person is Zachar Unakeva. A man could have a role outside of marriage, outside of the bias. And that's why there's two words to describe a man. There's the word ish, and then there's the word baal. Two different words. An isha, Hashem structured an isha, and an isha is the only creature that Hashem said what her primary role is. She wants to be an engineer, good, she wants to be president. I don't know about president, from a halachic perspective. Even though in Israel, you could for sure be president. Maybe not in the United States, but in Israel, a woman could be president too, because there's no shlita there. He has no power. No, I'm talking about the halacha, that a woman shouldn't be put in a position of being a leader of Klal Yisrael. Hay Dvora, if you know Yanach, okay, it's a good question. It's talked about quite a bit by the Mefarshim. A woman is the bias. We know that the word isha and the word bias are synonymous. A woman is a mother, meaning her koach is a nurturing. She's the bias, and she is in charge of the bias. If a woman resents the fact that her primary role is to be an azer to the husband in what he does, That's a problem. I mean, that we're gonna have to talk about privately, but that the Torah says, and it's not a put down. It's not a that's her role. Remember, Zachar Unakeva Bra'am, and the bias is the makom of the Shechina. That's the makom avoda. You have a mezuzah on the door. I always say a mezuzah is woman's tefillin. If you ever feel bad that you don't wear tefillin, you say, wait a second, I'm the bias. The bias is mine. I'm in charge of the bias. I'm the malka. I'm the queen of the house. I always tell the man, let her paint whatever color she wants. Furniture, whatever she wants. It's her bias. This is a woman's malucha. She is the bias. She should have the bias that she wants, how she wants it. What are you arguing for? This is her. This is her malchus. She's the queen. Her bias, not just the kitchen. The living room also, everything, as you want it. This is your malucha. And the mezuzah on the bias that says that this house proclaims Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the mezuzah is your tefillin. You wear tefillin. You wear tefillin more than a man. A man wears tefillin a half hour a day, forgets about it as soon as he takes it off. You're the bias. A woman is the bias. She's in charge of the bias, as we'll see, Mitzvah Hashem. And the mezuzah is on the bias. Right, it's on the bite. That's the mezuzah. That's it. Every time you walk into the house, you kiss the mezuzah. Because the woman is the nurturer and she maintains the house. And that's, a house is a home, right? Simon Garfunkel, anybody? Homeward Bound? No? I'm the only one? How old am I? Anybody? Does anybody not know the Simon Garfunkel song, Homeward Bound? No? Or the John Denver song, right? Take Me Home, right? Take Me Home, right? A home is really, no, the songs are... A home is the base of a person. A home should express a person's values. A home is like home base. We say home base. Without a home, a person is not kavua. Here, there, everywhere. When I first got married, it was like the moment of Zen, is it called? Maybe. It's going to sound very weird, but like the soda in the refrigerator is there. What kind of soda? The soda that I want there. Like the house, this is my house. Really, it's a very personal thing. It's where a person, all these lashonas that we say, I feel at home. This is my kviyus. This is where I'm set up. My name's on the door. This is what I represent. This is what I stand for. This is what we're going to build. You build a home. Bayis nemu b'Yisrael, a binyan adayad. You're building something. We don't just do actions. A homeless person can do things. But he's homeless. It's not based on anything. It's automatically aroi. It's automatically, it has no lasting value. The concept of a home, I'm not talking necessarily about the stones and the bricks and the plasterboard, but the concept of a home, which translates into my house, my home, where I get my mail. Oh, not in Ramat Beit Shemesh. I heard they're making a post office here. I read that in the newspaper, yeah. I read it in the Ated of the United States. That's how powerful Nefesh B'Nefesh is. That the Ated Nemon in English of the United States had a news article that Ramat Beit Shemesh Aleph is getting their own post office. I don't know if it's true. That's the next issue. The house is the field where your children are growing. Like, it's a sodeh. It's a house. Hashem has to have a house. Beis HaMikdash, bias. Hashem, you want the Shechina to be on earth, so without a Beis HaMikdash, it's a problem. He's not here. Where is he? Where's Hashem? Even Har Sinai wasn't enough for that. I mean, that's when he really brought Shemayim down to Oretz, and the Shechina is now B'tachtonim, but there was a Mishkan, and the Ramban says in Chumash that the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, by extension, is a recreation of Har Sinai. But why? Because now Har Sinai is permanent. Right? Har Sinai was a one-shot deal. We're supposed to remember it, but it happened once. But we build a Beis HaMikdash, a Bayis Lashem, and now Har Sinai is ever-present. That's what the Ramban says about the Mishkan at the end of Shmos and at the beginning of Vayikra, and it's certainly true about the Beis. So even Hashem needs a Bayis. A Bayis is permanent, a Bayis is kavua, a Bayis should express your values, a Bayis is where you're growing children. You're growing children. That's the field where you're growing children. And that's a kavius of a person's life. Again, I'm not talking about the house. The bias, the unit. So that's Zohar and Akeva. That's the unit that Hashem made. And the woman is in charge of creating the setting. This is the importance of Shalom Bayis, as I'm explaining. The bias is the makom with which we function. We function within the bias. That's our makom. If Hashem needs a base HaMikdash, a bias, so we certainly need a bias. It makes a kviyus, and it makes a permanence. That's where the children grow. That's where we extend ourselves. It expresses our values, etc. And the woman, as the nurturer, is in charge of the bias, and that's why she is synonymous with the word bias. But the Shalom bias is because the bias itself is the chibur of the Zohar and the Nekeva. The whole world has a duality. This is in Chavos Halvavos, it's in physics. If you know physics, which I don't, but you could ask Mrs. Padowitz, to ask her husband. There's probably other people that know physics. I'm sorry if I'm... There must be others. I just happen to know Joel. I don't know anybody else. But the world is, all the kochos in the world are is of a dual nature. Shemayim Ba'aretz, electricity, positive or negative, it's a known thing. Chatzal Baba says it as a fact, and he lived 1,000 years ago. So there's a chibur, and all nouns, you know, in Hebrew, which is the real language, every noun is zohar unikeva, zohar unikeva, and everything is machpil. There's a makabel and a nosein. They function together. They're different, and they work together. The kitzur, the shleimus of the bria, is with zohar, with a chibur of zohar unikeva. That's why the child's created through the chibur of a zohar unikeva, because that's their shleimus when they. I'm a child, and then there's nitzchius in a child, and they teach the child, and it's an extension of them that's going to go, and then there's another extension, and an extension of an extension, and that comes about because there's a chibur of the zohar and the keva. So that's shleimus. That's how the bria is supposed to be, zohar and the keva bara'om. If you don't have shalom bayis, there's no chibur. The world can't function. The world can only function with, you can call it shemayim va'aretz, the shechina in Kabbalah Svarim. Has Dchar, it's in Aramaic, the Zohar, has Dchar aspects and Nukba aspects, and they work together. This is Hashem as we experience Hashem. Midas Hadin, Midas Arachman. That's the Shleimus HaOdom, and when I say Odom, I don't mean a man. I mean Odom as Hashem created him, Zohar and Akeva. So, it's a chesed Hashem. That's how you have to think of it. It's a chesed. It's a chesed Hashem that the chibur of a zohar and a kebar is pleasurable. That's a chesed. It could have been hard work and a mess but the chibur has to be there. That's how the world functions. The goyim have it wrong, or a non, you know, someone that's not a Torah person has it wrong. Like to be together outside of marriage is like so not the point. It's not the point. The whole point is within marriage. It's not like, oh, it's usur to be together outside of marriage. It's much worse than usur. Kvayachal, worse than usur. It misses the whole point. It's like you're eating a meal. That's all you're not accomplishing anything by eating a meal. It's nothing accomplished. So you have some pleasure for a few seconds, a minute, whatever. But it's a chesed Hashem that the building block of the world of doing things, of accomplishing things, which the shleimus is only with zohar and akeva together, functioning together, each with their own role. That's shalom bayis. As I'm saying, it's the chesed Hashem that is pleasurable, but that's not the point, the pleasure. The point is the chibur, because that's the shleimus habriyah, and that's the shleimus ha'odom, and that's why shmo nimchak. If you don't have that, it's like there's no world, there's no tachlis. You can't accomplish. A person, a man without a wife, the Gemara says, Chatzi Yodom, Chatzi this, B'li Torah, B'li Simcha, B'li Chayim, B'li Shalom, you heard all this at the Sheva Brachas. And for a woman, it's certainly so. Doubly so. So the Bria cannot function without Zohar Unikeva Chibur. In a conceptual sense, in a philosophical sense, in a real sense, the building block of the world and the world carrying on and being Avdei Hashem is through the that's why a child is created through the Hebrew of Zohar and Akeva, because that's when you reach Shleimus, and then the child comes out of that Shleimus, and then you can work on that. Kids, for things to be right, correct, proper, the way they're supposed to be, there has to be Shalom Bayis. The Zohar and Akeva has to be a team, not partners. Chas v'Shalom, I'm not doing the dishes. That was a joke. My wife doesn't think it's a joke, but we're old-fashioned. We're old-fashioned. We both have parents who were very European, and that carried over to us, even though we're both Americans. But both our parents were, even though my wife's parents, rather, were both born in America too, but very, very European in the way the bias was structured. So that carried forth. That's why I do not know how to diaper a baby. I'm sorry. I don't know how. They're all grown already. So I mean, but that's not a joke, what I said. It's not a partnership. It's a team. It's a team. And that chibur of Zohar and Akeva, which is a Bria chibur, even Hashem, the Char V'Nukva, You need that for the Shleimus HaBriya. You can't get anywhere without that. That's what Pshat Shmo Nimchak. Okay, that's in a nutshell. Oh my goodness. We didn't even get up to the point yet. Well, there's not going to be questions because I'm not talking protiv. I'm only talking a principle. I don't know. Who's in charge here? It's supposed to be this way. I'm sorry if I'm just giving a speech. I don't know. It wasn't supposed to be a speech. I apologize. If you walk out of here, right, we'll see. I'm ready to stay and answer questions. No, we can't. We can't cover it in an hour and 45 minutes. Shalom bayis. We need a 10-part series for an hour and a half each. Really. And then comes the one-on-one talking to you, if you want to. So, okay. If I pick this topic, boy, I feel foolish now. Okay.
No, we could always build on it.
That's a shame. Okay.
Could take us 4 years.
So now, I'm going to tell you the Yesod. The Yesod. So now that's Shalom Bayis and its importance and the idea of Zocher V'Nekevah. Now I'm going to talk to women what men's needs are, and they have to nurture and fulfill those needs. And it's based on a Rambam that's going to sound very archaic to you. If you haven't heard the Rambam before, I'll skip the Rambam that talks about how a husband should treat his wife. Well, you don't have to hear that. You don't have to hear that. I mean, you have to know it, because you can't demand it. Okay, that's a separate issue. How to deal with it. If the man's not doing what he's supposed to do, how to deal with it is a talk in itself. But now I'm talking about the Rambam. I'm talking to you. V'chein tzivu ala isha, shetia mechabedes es baila biyoser midai. She has to respect her husband, show respect to her husband, more than is normal. Yoser midai. What does he mean? We'll talk about it in a second, because your husbands have chesronos. Every human being does. And he also has milos, as virtually all human beings do if they're normal. If they're normal people and they're stable and they have milos. And so you have to show respect more than they deserve. Yoser midai. The yiel leha mora mimenu, mora chas v'sholem doesn't mean fear, just like it never means fear. It doesn't mean fear by children. It means awe. It means you have to have kavod and mora. We're familiar with the ideas from Hashem and from parents. That's what mora here means, undoubtedly. If there's a different type of fear, then come speak to me immediately. I'm not joking. That's very, very, don't make that mistake. Mora here means awe. The tasa koma seho al piv, and she will follow his instructions. The yia beineha, he should be in her eyes kamosar o melech. Mahalechas betavos libo, she caters to his needs. Umrachekas koma sheyisna, and if he doesn't like something, she doesn't do it. If he doesn't like that dress, she doesn't wear it. The zed derech benos Yisrael, ubnei Yisrael, because he was talking about the men's obligations in the previous halacha, hakadoshim v'hatahorin b'zivugon. It doesn't say, toe the line, lady, or else. He says, this is the derech of b'nos Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, hakadoshim v'hatahorin b'zivugon, whose chibur is kadosh v'tahor. This is the way you have to act, u'bedrochem elu, and he's including the man's responsibilities to the woman also, u'bedrochem elu, Yiyeh yishuvan no'eh u'meshubach. Life will be a pleasure. I said that men are nothing but grown-up babies. This is the Pshat in the Rambam. Men are babies. And the man's primary need from his wife is to have respect. That's the secret. The secret that the Rambam is saying, as the Pshat in the Rambam is, because that's the man's need. To have Shalom Bayis, you have to respect your husbands, because that's their need. They need that. They have to feel that you look up to them, and you respect them. And you'll say, well, and you have to provide that need. That's your obligation. Just like you have certain obligations to your children, so you have certain obligations to your husband. And the obligation is as I say, to look up to him and to respect him. If you do that, it's boduk umenusa, meaning it's tried and true. And this is what the Rambam is saying, and this is my promise to you, the Torah's promise to you, Hashem's promise to you. If that's the principle of your interaction with your husband, that how can I show him that I respect him, that I look up to him, then the man will only have no other will, he'll only want that you should be happy. That's the reaction. If a man responds by being abusive, by taking advantage, there is something very wrong with him, mentally, emotionally. It's not normal. That's not the normal reaction of a normal, stable person. And if that is the reaction, which maybe you're thinking, yeah, that can't that happen? So I'm telling you clearly, it's not normal. And if that happens, there's a mental instability. There's taka a problem. But what the Rambam is telling you to do should, in normal people, would not result not in an abusive relationship, but adarabba, his whole goal now in life, lagabe you, will be to make you happy. You're the queen. You treat him like a king, he will treat you like a queen. And that's the natural, God-given reaction in a person, in a man. A normal person will want to show that he's worthy of that respect, and he will be so appreciative and loving of the way she's treating him that he will shower her with his goal in life will be that you should be happy, that the wife should be happy, that she should be happy in being the queen of the house. That's the normal reaction. Now, people have chesroinus. So you say, how can I? So you have to think. Maybe you have to be even creative sometimes. But if you want shalom bayis and you want to have the shleimus of zohar and akeva, you'll see if your husband's lazy, so you'll focus on the fact that he's kind. If your husband doesn't learn as much as you would like him to, you'll focus on the fact that he's a terrific davener. If a husband is, you know, you can make these two lists. Nobody's perfect. And I actually made a list. Right? If your husband's not so smart, if you're smarter than him, you'll focus on the fact that he's very honest and that he's a masmid. If your husband's disorganized, you'll focus on the fact that he's creative. I mean, the two are not makbil. I'm just giving examples. If your husband's is immature, so you'll focus on the fact that he wants to please you and he's trying to make you happy. You have to focus on what is in him to make you respect him. That's what the Rambam says is your chiyuv. It's what the husband's need is. He will respond by wanting to make you happy. If he's a melech, you're the malka. And there's nothing he won't do for you. That's the Rambam's promise. There's nothing he won't do for you. And you'll have a zivug kadosh v'tohor, because everyone will be interested in fulfilling the need of the other person, because he'll want to be worthy of that respect. That's a normal person's reaction. I'm fully aware, as I said, that there's people that could abuse that and become abusive, and it could become demeaning. But if that happens, it's not normal. The yesod is still true. It means there's an issue and a problem, and he has to seek professional help, or he needs hadrafa. But it's not a normal reaction, if you're thinking that. The normal reaction of a man that you treat this way will be to shower you with love and affection, and his only will in life will be to make you happy. You have to look up to him. That's his need. And that's how you have to treat him. Now, when it's hard, and it's hard, it's hard. So, listen to me. Sometimes it's hard to keep Shabbos, and sometimes it's hard to keep Kashrus, and sometimes it's hard to be frum, and sometimes it's hard to be tzanua, and sometimes it's hard to not talk Lashon Hara, sometimes it's hard not to listen to Lashon Hara. And that's how you have to think of it. That's a woman's chiyuv. I say this is the ezer. The ezer means to provide his needs. This is his primary emotional and psychological need, to be respected by his wife. And first of all, it's your achrayus to provide it. So, you know, some people can deal with the difficulty by saying it's achrayus. Remember that the minute he said harayat mekudeshesli under the chuppah, this shidduch is bashert. Bashert means that for your personal growth, this is the ideal relationship. And sometimes when it's hard, all it means is that you will find personal growth and fulfillment in doing what you're supposed to do. And that's how you could look at it. So there's different ways to deal with the difficulty. You can take the frum approach, Shabbos, Kashrus, Tznius, I have to do it. Yeah. You can take the, you know, the responsibility approach, I'm mechuyev to do this. And you could realize that for your personal growth, this is what you need. If Hashem puts you in a situation where you have to swallow hard and give in a lot in order to fulfill this, if that happens to be the case, you know what it means? It means you have a problem with sablonut or with ka'as, and this is how you're going to grow. As a person, you're going to steig and grow and reach your personal fulfillment by having shalom bayis. There's no question in my mind, and I've seen it countless times. I wish I would have time to just take off 2 years and write a paper on this with case histories and examples. What I'm about to say is mamish true. It's like I see it countless times. To have shalom bayis, you have to be mesakein what you were brought down into this world. The Gra says that everybody was brought down into this world to be mesakein a particular midah. Or midos. That's a Gra on Mishle, many places. It's a famous thing. It's uncanny. It's not uncanny because that's what Hashem did. That in order to have shalom bayis, the zohar, the man and the woman, have to work on their personal issues. And they will find fulfillment and tikkun and be mekayim what they were put down into this world to do. They have to overcome sometimes gaiva, they have to overcome kas, sometimes they have to overcome laziness, sometimes they have to overcome selfishness and egotism. Every person is different. Every person has chesroinus. Every person has issues to work on. And that's the grosses, that's what you're put down in this world to do, to be mesakin that. Hashem is like, it's uncanny. I'm telling you, it's uncanny. You will have shalom bayis. If you're not having shalom bayis, it fits like a puzzle. Mamish like a puzzle, like a jigsaw puzzle. It fits beautifully. Each one's misaking their issues, their personal issues, and boom, that was the block. That was the wall that didn't let shalom bayis be. And it's time and time again. And even if you don't believe me, but remember that Hashidduch is Bashert, and Hashem put you into this situation. So it's anyway true, it's anyway a given that Hashem put you here, and Hashem wants you to be here. And therefore, you are only going to grow from the situation, and you're only going to gain. These are just like ways in which you can deal with it, if it's too difficult. Don't give up. This is shalom bayis. You have the achrayus of shalom bayis. That's a pasuk in Mishle. Okay, anach. Anyone see anach? This is Briga. Where's the anach?
Oh. Top shelf.
Where? Let's play hot and cold.
Up. By your right hand. By your right hand. There, right there. To the left. Next to the Rashi Chumash.
Oh, there's a Tanakh in the middle.
Okay, thank you. No, it's kedai to listen because it's a famous pasuk. Chokmas isha bonso beisa. That's it. That's what Shlomo Melech says. It's the wisdom of a woman who's smart. Chachmos noshim bonso beisa va'avelas biyodeo teresanu. It's up to you to build or to break your home. I'm sorry. That's what Hashem said. It's up to you because you're the bias. You're synonymous with bias. You're the Akeras HaBayis. You're in charge of the bias. That's your Malucha. And it's up to you. The husband has his responsibilities. I say that's what I have. But you are the Iker HaBayis. And that's what, this is the Yesod that I came here tonight to tell you. Show your husband's respect. Find, for some of you it's easy, for some of you it's hard. Admit it. My wife has to do it to me. I know how hard it is. Right? So, but do it, do it. And the rewards will be so multifold. And you'll have such benefit from it. And you'll be treated like a queen. And you will make that chibur. You will make that chibur of Zohar and Akeva, which is the yesod of Shalom Bayis. How would I put it? Make him feel that he's important, that you look up to him, that you will cater to his needs. You're here to serve him. That's the ruach. Again, he will respond by showering you and making you happy. 1,000%. Okay. Okay, that's basically it. I gave a speech. I want to make a few... I won't be insulted if you leave. I mean, if you have to leave, if you want to leave, if you have to leave. I just want to give a few short, like, I'm not going to elaborate on anything. It's just I said, how can we walk out of a Shalom Bayis class without, like, some basic things, which I call them, they're Yesodos also. This is the major Yesod. Well, the major Yesod was that men are big babies. But this is the major Yesod, is that you have to show your husband's respect, and that will create Shalom Bayis. Now, there's obviously many hundreds and hundreds of pratim. I made a list of 5 or 6 just short takes of things that are so important. Share your thoughts and emotions with your husband. He cannot read your mind. Let him know if you have a complaint, if you're not happy. Share them with him. He's your husband. He's your husband, and he... Okay, enough said. Don't do it too often. Make a judgment what he can handle. Make a judgment what he can handle. Because if you do it too much and he can't handle it, he won't respond the way you'd like him to. He won't want to hear it anymore. He'll be on overload. So make a judgment what he's capable of handling. If he comes home, I don't know, every person's different. It could be, you know, unburden what you went through that whole day on him, and he can handle it. And he says, you know, he wants to hear it, adarabha. Or it could be he can't. But don't assume he knows what you're going through. You have to tell him, and if you have certain emotions or feelings, share them. He's your husband. Share them with him. Okay. Do things together. That's just a practical thing. As life goes on and there's more and more children, you don't have time to cement the chibur. And you should find time to do things together. Okay? Realize that Shalom Bayis is security for your children. It's their feeling of security. And it's... You can almost go to any school and pick out the kids whose parents don't have Shalom Bayis. And it's sad. It's very sad. They're the korbanos of the lack of Shalom Bayis. So realize, I'll put that in the another reason why you should do it even if it's hard. Like reason number 4 is just imagine that you're doing it for the sake of your children. Besides the other reasons. Vitur is very, very important. Vitur. I mean, again, it's important for the husband too, and I told him that, okay, but I'm talking to you now. be mevater, it's a wonderful midah, it gets you, Hashem is like, oh, you're mevater, so I'll be mevater to you too. That's a promise of Chazal. It, here it's even more important, because it solidifies the idea that there's, you know, you're not competing. You know, vitur is only bad if one side has to win and one side has to lose. But if by being mevater you're cementing the chibur and you're cementing the bias, so you haven't lost anything. You've gained much more than you supposedly lost. It's like if you're in color war, right? And you lose your best friend because you were on different teams. I don't know how many, right? Have we all experienced color war? And all of a sudden, you lose your best friend for a few weeks because of you were on opposing teams. Remember the Israel Noas Devarim. You make a cutting remark, and it's allowed. It's besides that, it's Maharis Tobias, and it'll make your husband lose his trust and his belief that you respect him. A cutting remark could be all the cutting remarks that people constantly make about the past, about you always do this and you always do that, and why are you this and why can't you this, and it could be, if we made a tape recording, we'd be shocked at the things that come out of our mouths that are onas devarim, that are really usur. Anything that makes me cringe, that makes your husband cringe, this is a universal thing. I'm saying it's takanat shalom bayis specifically, but remember there's an isur onas devarim. Try very hard not to talk about whose fault something is. Just talk about, okay, what do we do now? This is the matzah. Again, these are like short takes. Everything's a class in itself. Don't talk about whose fault it is. Say, okay, what do we do now? And that's it. There's hundreds of pratim, and I hope tonight. Okay, it's a long time. Okay. Ad kan, any questions? How does my wife put up with me? No, sorry. Off limits. Okay.
Thank you.
I think they're afraid to listen to class.
Thank you, Rabbi Linowitz, for coming in.
A rub doesn't get overloaded. And if he gets overloaded, he'll tell you about it. I guess there's nothing you can do about it. Are you aware that there's going to be a board once again?
Thank you so much. Okay. Don't look for a minute, no. If you want to do another pie,
Maybe in the beginning of next week.
Am I wrong?
No,
the original
was to have like a free flow after. Thank you.
We were going to do before, but then at one point the Rav mentioned that you did it for the men, so we said maybe Shovelin we would do it with a halakha.
No, yeah, Shovelin, but I'm talking about like the last time we did King of Bonin. There was a topic last time too. No, free for all means money by Friday night, totally free for all. Would women come to that? Maybe they wouldn't come to it.
I think this was great, and the end was good, so thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
What? Oh no, this is madness. Unless you have a comp. If you have a comp, then I want you. It's okay. I'm fine. Thank you. I'll be okay. Thank you.
My husband says he's a bala boy. He's a bala.
Wonderful children.
Thank you. I had the privilege of hearing you the other day.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you.
I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready. I have another daughter. I got a first little one. And, I love it here.
Thank you.
Okay, anyway, you should have continued knockoffs.
Where are you from?
I'm from the Lower East Side.
My grandparents are from the Lower East Side. I live in the Lower East Side. Their name was Greenfield.
I grew up in the 50s and 60s. Where?
Well, we started on the Lower East Side, but in the early 50s, we moved to Queens. I grew up in Forest Hills.
Fancy people.
But my grandparents lived for 558 Greenfield.
Oh.
Okay. IH Greenfield.
I was on 260 Broadway.
Uh huh.
Most of my life.
I think that's about where he died. And he died in like a spot of.
The East Broadway was lined with shoes.
And I still go down there a couple of mornings a week. Yeah.
You get pickles and rough?
No, not that. I keep going to dance.
The edgings?
It's still there. And we congregate there. And simple dancing. We choreographed the simple dancing.
I mean, they're still hanging in there. My father had a shul. It was just one of many shuls. I wasn't Rabbi Singer.
My grandmother, I don't know the name of it, but I know it was his father, Kishul, and it was his father.
They smelled the Shagodo. There were so many stools. Not in Nansika.
He was in Shagodo. So he worked for the Metropolitan. I only have one question.
Yes.
What's the difference between a team and a partnership?
Really? A partnership is two equal partners. A team, they have totally different roles, but they're a team. A team is a pitcher and a catcher on first base. And a partnership, they're both doing the same thing. They're just sharing. Oh, no, if the concept of a marriage is a partnership, then my wife says, as many women do, tonight you do the dishes. I do the dishes last night, you do the dishes tonight. That's a partnership. A team is, I'm going to learn, and you're doing the dishes. Now, if a wife, it should go, of course, if a woman needs help, because she can't handle the household, because believe I inherited her so much, then of course the husband has to help her. But he's helping her do what she's supposed to do. I'm not saying he has to demand thank you.
Well, thank you for saying that.
But it's not a partnership. I'm sorry. The husband has his responsibilities, the wife has hers.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Too late for that, so I don't. In other words, if I was going to catch a 10 o'clock bus, it's always a 10:30 bus.
He wants me to come drive you somewhere at 10:30?
No, there's no need. The bus is right here.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Where do you live, Rabbi?
I live in Shalom, in Sanhedrin.
You're kidding?
No.
Thank you.
You live in
Sanhedrin.
You come here every Shabbos.
I come here every day.
Come every day, but when do you stay for Shabbos?
I have an appointment.
My daughter learns
in San Francisco. No, okay,
Mohammed
is a modern people. Mohammed is like all of you, Shalaya. Like weird people, strange people, quaint, very quaint. very quaint neighborhood. I love it. I love it.
And then you have a place here? Just the shadows?
I have an apartment here. Well, just the shadows, but I'm here every day, so I use it every day. I mean, almost every day.
Wow.
No.
It's not the diary for you to stay here?
That's one of the issues, you know.
Oh, wow.
Maybe with my children.
My
it's a commute, you know. For someone that grew up in America, in New York, this is much less of a...
I know.
You know, people live in Muncie and go to Manhattan every day. Right,
this is true. And we go to Manhattan. We live in Rochelle. It's also a...
This is the equivalent. What I do is the equivalent of living in Muncie and working in Washington Heights.
I understand.
It's
but not too many rabbis do that. Okay. Well, nice to meet you.
Please.
Thank you very much.
Please forgive me, but I don't know what
enjoy. I haven't come talk to you that much. I guess I'm fine.
Okay.
Would you like something to eat?
No.
Am I supposed to give the report or something?
I have no idea. Yes, Mrs. Bornstein.
Oh, okay. So I'll give it to her husband. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was a nice step.
I think so. Thank you. Good night.
Most people like the cookies.
Yeah. I went over here when she was talking to open it. That was already open. I opened this.
Wasn't it funny that the one person I should sit next to is this person that I mentioned to you?
Mm-hmm.
I told her we walked by her house on Shabbos.
Thank you.
one in front of the oven with the ink stain?
Yes.
Want to wash that cat? Should we see one with it?
Boy, you really have a full house. I think there were more people here that came to that lecture on Kind of Tele the other morning.
I think more people come at night, right? Because so many people work.